Sunday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. I once again want to thank Plymouth County Register of Deeds, John Buckley, as well as Sharon McNamara and Bernie Hassan, for being a part of that last segment. Joe, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say that was a great segment. We had a lot of...
Well, that's only because you get to talk about flood insurance for like 5 seconds. That's like that's like bringing Kerry Burton here and letting him talk about either his food article that he has, the column he has in the Herald, or talking about football.
But it fit the situation so well.
It did. It was in your wheelhouse. That's all that matters. Speaking of which...
How are you, Kevin?
The potent
Joe. Dave
Pigskin himself.
Keith, everyone.
ColdHotFootballFacts.com and beyond. You can also hear him once in a while. I think weekly you're on with Mikey Adams.
Yes, sir.
Hearing you on with Mikey Adams.
Appreciate that.
Mikey's a great
guy. Kind of took the holidays off. I haven't, this is my first show back after the holidays, so... I appreciate you having me, Kevin.
I tried the hardest
working man in radio.
I have to tell you, I was pondering it as we were going on air. Do you realize that it has been 364 days since you've been in that almost that very seat?
How do you know?
Because I put the podcast up and I pay attention.
Appearance that memorable that you
he's
haven't watched?
He's got some weird chart he keeps taking out every Monday night.
We're going to hire you for Cold Hard Football Facts if you've got that kind of memory, you know? If you're that kind of numbers guy.
And of course, the guy who was here last week, we were talking The Walking Dead and speaking with Irony Singleton. He returns, Keith Hayes from Hoobazoo.com, that I'd invite him in. I tried to get Jerry Thornton in, but Jerry was kind of tied up, so he was...
Yeah, I talked to Jerry, in fact, today, and he regrets that he couldn't be on here.
He's a big star now.
He has. Jerry's
a big star now.
Had the best year of anyone in 2014. I mean,
I don't know. He did all right.
But he's a guy who...
well-deserved.
You know, he was a fan who just kind of built an audience. Is a guy who just loves Boston sports and is loyal
to
the team.
He's already had his first feud.
Has he?
With Dan Shaughnessy.
Oh, okay.
Dan Shaughnessy kind of fired.
Oh, but that's been going on for a while, hasn't it?
I understand that, but it kind of percolated more this year.
Yeah.
late last year.
Yeah. But he's living the sports fan's dream. He didn't pretend to be a journalist or anything. He was a sports fan who... was really good at what he did, really funny.
Well, he has a great way of articulating things. And look, he has a unique way of thinking and a great sense of humor.
And he's a South Shore guy. That's the key. So
you can't beat South Shore guys. I mean, unless you're a little north of Quincy, then...
I went to Malden the other day.
Do you know the
water spins down the drain the other way on the North Shore?
Get out.
It does. It does.
This is not like it's in Australia.
True story.
Well, we're here to talk, it's the NFL playoffs, the first weekend out of the wild card weekend out of the way. And, I can't just bring anybody in here to talk football, professional football, except for Kerry and Keith. What did you guys think of the first weekend?
I went 3-for-1 in my picks. If I had realized that Arizona was going to have that many guys out, I would have changed that pick. But once I put my picks in, I'm not a guy that likes to go and change my
quarterback.
Picks.
It was a given.
Yeah, I don't like to go back and change my picks because people say, "Oh, you change it." So I left it as Arizona. But
I think that
injuries
that
kill you in the playoffs.
Carolina having such a subpar record. I mean, it was they didn't even have a .500 record. I mean, they do now, technically.
Imagine if Detroit had won. We'd be looking at a situation where Carolina could host the NFC title game.
If only they didn't pick that flag up.
Yeah. Now listen, that's
an interference flag.
That was that was horrible at every level. Okay, let me give my take on it. And it's the Cowboys were whistled late in the game at a key moment for pass interference, and you never hear this. Really hear it. It happens a few times a season where the official picked it up and basically uncalled the penalty. Right? So, Dallas still had a fighting chance there. That was wrong to me on every level because, one, I hate the way pass interference is called, no matter what. It determines too many games. It's too undefined. It's too big a
especially
penalty.
Late in the game.
Yeah. And it ruins football for me because all you have to do is throw the ball down. How many games, week in and week out, obviously, accentuated in the playoffs, but how many games week in and week out are determined, or not determined, but dramatically influenced by a pass interference call? They got to let these defenders play, guys. You got to let them play. But with that said, I wouldn't have called that. But since they did call it, I wish they didn't call it. Like that, to me, that should not be a penalty to me. But the fact that they threw the flag, you got to stick with it. It was wrong. So to me, it was a wrong call that they got wrong when they recalled it. It was just wrong.
It was almost
level.
As though like Chris Christie, who was up in the booth with Jerry Jones, had something to do with it.
And all the conspiracy theories, because I mean, you know, and you can't blame it. It looks bad for the NFL.
Did I hear something about one of the members of the officiating team was seen getting off of one of the Dallas Cowboys party buses or something?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a head scratcher?
I don't want to say they're turning into NBA refs, but
that's the appearance you get, Keith. I mean, that's what it feels like.
That's exactly what it feels like. And let's go back to this whole call and being picked up. And, you know, it's not just that. It's the fact that defensive pass interference is now used. Offenses are now looking to throw the ball long down the field.
It's a weapon. For offense,
exactly, because you're gonna, if you're down by three or down by six, and time's on your side, and you're marching down the field, you're gonna. I could hear Brady say, "Hey, we're gonna go long. You got horrible coverage. This guy commits penalties all season long. Let's just throw it up there and hope we get the flag." And I bet you 50% of the time, these quarterbacks are gonna get that flag on a good receiver with crappy coverage, and that's going to change your game. It's going to put the ball wherever the infraction happens, and of course it like you said, it's a game changer. It's a huge game changer. It kills momentum, and it's just one of those things.
We could probably run the numbers on that, but I don't know if it's 50%, but I know for the sake of argument, let's throw it out there, your chances of completing a long pass, say at 35%, you know, a long downfield pass, there's probably a 1 in 5 chance the guy's going to get called. Anyway, now you're talking over a 50% chance getting something out of the play. And I hate it. I think you need to let defenders play. And not only that, guys, the way they've neutered defenses, listen to this. They neutered defenses. They're making it possible to play defense. It's hurt scoring in the NFL.
It's all Bill Polian's fault.
Has hurt scoring in the NFL. The highest scoring season in NFL history was 1948. Mm. 1948, back when they still had leather helmets and they were running the wing tee offense and things like that. They were running the Marshfield Rams old, you know, offense. You know, remember they ran that, you know, wing tee, right? That was their famous offense. And when I worked for the Patriot Ledger, that's what they ran. It was awesome to watch. That's what they were running in the NFL still in the 40s. And they scored more points per game. You know why, guys? Because defenses had a fighting chance. They forced more turnovers. They scored more defensive scores. They gave offenses more short fields. There was actually more scoring when defenses had a chance to compete. And you now it's a one-dimensional game. You either have a quarterback or you don't. We were talking about Arizona, Keith, earlier, how, you know, they're down to their fourth-string quarterback. That was the game there. You can't win in the NFL without a quarterback. And look at all the teams still alive. They all have a quarterback. It's that simple. You can't win any other way, you know?
Do you guys feel so far in the games that we saw this weekend, injuries played a significant role in whether a team was able to advance? You look at Pittsburgh, you look at Cincinnati, you look at Arizona, teams like that, that, you know, I felt were hindered without some of their star players.
Yes. Oh, definitely. I think that Cincinnati game speaks volumes also. I think that's another one where they had some key injuries there. I think that cost them.
Yeah, they were missing half their offense. But with that said, they are who they are. They are. There's a reason now. They've made the playoffs 4 years in a row with Andy Dalton, a quarterback, and they've lost all four games because Andy Dalton is a slightly above-average quarterback. And you are who your quarterback is in the NFL.
Is he the modern-day Peyton Manning? Is that what you're saying?
No, because Peyton Manning just, you know, he was a great quarterback who maybe didn't play his best in the postseason, but Andy Dalton has brought you to where you're going to get with him at quarterback. Right. The great quarterbacks, you know, we just did a big study on this at Cold Hard Football Facts. The last 11, and it will be 12 after this year, so basically 12 straight AFC titles won by the same four quarterbacks.
Yes.
Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, and Joe Flacco. That's it. Unless you have one of those four guys, it's not going to be Andrew Luck. He's not going to get through these, you know, he's not going to get through the next two rounds.
No.
Unless you have one of those four guys, you don't go to the Super Bowl. They might as well not even play. The AFC should just play four teams. There's 12 teams playing for nothing. Then they can't compete because they don't have the quarterback. It's simple as that in the modern NFL.
You almost sound like the guy who ran Major League the guy who was in charge of Major League Baseball back in 1984, but only four. You know, there was only divisional champions, and then they all went to the playoffs, and it was very short and brief.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's somewhat exciting, because you have more of a what
baseball.
I'm talking about playoffs. It's a more of an expanded playoff system,
but
there are more teams that are involved. Instead of you'd have seven or eight teams in a division, and only one went to the playoffs. The guy who the team that had the most wins, they went.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was okay for a while, but then when you have 26, 28, 30 teams, and only four are going. You got to go, okay, we got to make this a little bit more.
But in baseball, though, there's a number of different ways to win. In the NFL, at the end of the season, 24 to 26, 28 teams don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl because they don't have a quarterback. And you look at who's left. Okay, let's look at the NFC. Okay, the top three seeds are Seattle, Green Bay, and Dallas, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know there are three quarterbacks? You know, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, Russell Wilson in Seattle, and Tony Romo in Dallas are the three highest-rated passers in the history of football. And you look at the AFC, you know, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are number four, number six on that all-time mm-hmm. list. Mm-hmm. And Andrew Luck is the up-and-coming young star, and Joe Flacco is a proven commodity who can win in the postseason. That's, you know, Cleveland doesn't have a shot. Oakland doesn't have a shot. Buffalo doesn't have a shot. Miami doesn't have a shot. Cincinnati doesn't have a shot. I mean, it's fourth. That's it. To me, it's actually made the NFL very monochromatic and not exciting.
I've always called them those teams. I've always called them tax write-off teams. In other words,
yeah,
the teams that are just here
as
a business, and their owners are just writing off taxes. And I had felt Detroit was that way at one time before they decided to, you know, to try to make their playoff run. But I always felt Detroit was one of those teams that was just a tax write-off team.
Yeah,
it was just a write-off for a guy that has way too much money.
Yep.
And was just, you know, writing it off.
But I find that almost a little disheartening that, you know, if you don't have that quarterback, you can't win.
Mm.
You can't win. And your team's fortunes follow that quarterback's fortunes. It's become a very simplistic league, and I find that, I mean, great. It's great if you're here in Boston, or if you're in, you know, in Denver or Indianapolis, you know, and your team has a quarterback. But otherwise, it's going to be horribly frustrating to know that you can't win.
I have to say, I'm here to, you know, let you guys talk about your individual, you know, your strengths of talking football. I mean, but I recently wrote on my website about what are the Patriots going to be like without Tom Brady. Are they going to be lucky like Green Bay? I shouldn't say lucky, but look at Green Bay and Indy, where they were able to have somebody waiting in the wings, or they were able to draft somebody, and they went back to being a double win team. Or do you want to be a team like a Buffalo
or a Cleveland or a Jacksonville,
where where you're lucky to get somebody who'll get you five or six wins, and you don't have a star under center?
Yeah.
Well, I think your key here with this, and I've said this before, and I've always felt this way. I've always felt that when the time comes, I feel that Brady and Belichick are going to go at the same time. I just feel it in my bones that the two of these guys, when it goes time to go, they're going to leave their legacy.
Horrible
place.
Death.
They're going to go. they've already got their offensive coordinator in place that's going to take the reins from.
Are you saying we're going to have to relive the Rod Rust years?
No,
is that what you're trying to tell me?
Because I think Belichick is doing a good job of grooming, his name. Forgets me now. Offensive coordinator
Josh McDaniels.
Josh will get.
I think Josh is the heir. I think he's the heir apparent.
He's hot right now. Atlanta apparently is a hot team after him.
Yeah, I think when he left that first time, he upset a lot of
people. Came out of this system. He's going to want somebody who's going to be offensive minded.
I think Josh is the heir apparent, and I think Garoppolo is going to be a good fit. I think if he pays attention, listens to Brady, watches it, I think you'll see him take the reins.
Saying that
he's going to
be the modern day Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be the guy who sat behind,
I think,
you know,
so.
Brett Favre.
I think so. If he sits and learns for the next 2 years, because I think Brady's got maybe 2-3 years max left in him to play football.
Well, he signed for 3 years.
If they penalize defenses even more, he could probably go 5 years, because that's the only thing that's really extended the career.
Possible. Yeah, so you got a lot of older guys that are playing, you know, still at a high level, which you didn't see.
Thanks
years
to the penalty.
Ago.
Yeah. Thanks to the penalties and the fact that you can't rush passes like you used to be able to for fear of the, you know, for fear of the flag.
Well, we get some big games on tap next week. We got Dallas heading to Green Bay, the frozen tundra. We have the Colts heading to the Mile High Stadium taking on Denver. Carolina, of course, is going to go into the 12th.
Hornets nest of Seattle.
The Hornets nest of Seattle. And then Baltimore heading to Gillette in Foxborough. Let's first take a look at the NFC and save the best for last here. Give me your thoughts. I mean, does Tony Romo and Dallas have what it takes to be able to beat Aaron Rodgers? Let's not Aaron Rodgers. He may have had a week to rest up, but that hamstring could be detrimental.
You know, here's an interesting story. Aaron Rodgers is statistically the best quarterback of all time at this point in his career. I mean, his numbers are phenomenal. He's so far. You know, you look at all the numbers Tom Brady has put up, efficiency numbers, you know, touchdown interception ratio, interception rate, all these phenomenal numbers that has made Brady a winner. The only one better in the history of football than him is Aaron Rodgers, and in some cases, significantly better. But this Green Bay team is kind of unique because they've kind of underachieved, given how great their quarterback's been, considering the talent they have. If they don't have a lead, they don't win. And in fact, we had a guy who used to write for us called Captain Comeback who went on to ESPN. We've launched a lot of these careers. But Aaron Rodgers has like the fewest comeback victories of any quarterback ever at this point in his career. They win when they're in the lead, and if they fall behind, they don't win. So the opportunity for Green Bay, it's for Dallas, is get a couple quick scores. Play totally like they didn't against Detroit, where they were terrible early. Get a couple of scores, and that Green Bay team is different when they're not in the lead. They don't have a great history. That's the one knock, the one flaw, if you're looking for one in Aaron Rodgers' career, is he doesn't come back. They don't come from behind and win. They just don't. So there is an opportunity. I don't think it's as cut and dry. I think there's an opportunity.
Every wild card weekend usually is decided by the better team that plays.
Yep.
When you start getting into divisional and championship matchups, I've always felt that, number one, it does come down to home field advantage. And I think this weekend you're going to see home field advantage is going to be key for everybody. I think that Ravens scare me, but Ravens coming here doesn't scare me as much. I think they're going to have a hard time going up to Seattle and winning Seattle. And I always think going into Lambeau, when the Patriots just lost to Green Bay at Lambeau, I wasn't really that upset because I felt like, it's real tough to go into Lambeau and win at this time of the year. Yeah. Knowing that they pick it up.
Good teams are hard to beat at home.
Their fan base in Green Bay is ridiculous there. Dallas, Tony Romo is going in there, and Romo has yet to choke. They just barely got past Detroit.
He almost did Sunday.
Caldwell could have
almost
realistically
did Sunday.
Blew that game. So, to be honest, they're right now they're lucky to be heading to Lambeau Field.
Absolutely.
In my
book. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll tell you, if Aaron Rodgers and these guys are clicking on all cylinders, and that defense is going to make it real
hard. Green Bay should win. I agree. They're the better team. They should win. I just don't. There is an opportunity for Dallas to win. But what a great moment that would be for Tony Romo, who's been knocked around so much, who has phenomenal numbers.
Well, he's 2-for-3. He's 2-for-2-3.
What a great win that would be for them. And then
he's 2-3 because of Sunday's win. He's 2-for-3. Yeah.
If he can go in there and win Green Bay. It would almost knock almost every bad loss off his back.
I agree.
Almost every bad loss.
And then he can go into Seattle and lose because nobody would expect them to win.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
I think
Seattle is on a roll right now. Yeah. Seattle is a team. They're getting hot at the right time.
I'm a casual football watcher, I guess you could say. And I've watched them. I've watched some Seattle games, but recently I don't think they lose another game this year until the Super Bowl, and then it's up in the air. But I don't think they lose another game this year. Seattle.
Okay.
I think they're right on their way to going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
Talking about next Saturday night's game, Baltimore coming into New England. Do you see New England? Is this going to be a tight game? Because the past four times that these two teams have met, that Baltimore has done well.
Well, the last three times they've been in the playoffs, but, last year the Patriots knocked the snot out of them in the regular season at, 41-something. But in the playoffs, a couple years ago, Baltimore came in here in 2009 and humiliated the Patriots, a rare big loss for the Patriots at Gillette. And then, of course, the Patriots kind of got lucky in the 2011 AFC title game, right? When they went on to the Super Bowl, and then a year later, Baltimore comes in here again and kind of puts the Patriots away. So Baltimore has a good track record, but it was recently in the regular season the Patriots really knocked them around. There is the opportunity for them to do that, but
the biggest problem that the Patriots have is that offensive line, and we have Dumerville and Suggs, who between them have I think like 30 sacks between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to worry about a strong defensive line getting in at Brady and not giving him enough time
to
survey the field and be able to march down the field.
Well, it's going to be a big game for LaFell. Gronk always hurts the Ravens if he doesn't get injured on the first play of the opening series. If Gronk can stay healthy in this matchup, I say the Patriots roll with this win. But I got to applaud Baltimore for being here in the playoffs because, remember, this is a team that has the whole Ray Rice debacle that they had all season, and they were able to stay focused and make it to the playoffs.
People counted them out even in December. Yeah.
So you got to give these guys props. But, yeah, they're coming in here to Gillette.
You got to be disappointed with Pittsburgh, who didn't Roethlisberger have a game where he smoked them and had like six touchdowns this season?
But they always, those two teams always play smash mouth football. It goes any way, anytime.
Yeah, each of them beat the other by three touchdowns this year. And then, you know, the NFL's funny. You just, because you beat a team once 1 week doesn't mean you're going to beat them. You know, you could play them tomorrow and it's going to be different. That's, I think, what makes the NFL exciting is that you don't really know. You don't know week in and week out. Mm.
We're speaking with Kerry J. Byrne of CoolDownFootballFacts.com. And if you listen to other radio stations in the Boston area, you hear Kerry popping on. I believe this Wednesday he's going to be on with Mike Adams, a great sports talk show guy, Planet Mikey, big fan of Mikey's, and Keith Hayes of Hoobazoo.com. Let's kind of cut to the chase here. Who are the four teams going to be in their respective conference championships? Who will be representing the AFC, and who will be representing the NFC? Keith?
Oh, it's definitely going to be Seattle and Green Bay.
Put it on the table. Let's see.
Seattle and Green Bay all the way. And then it's going to be Pats, and I hate to say this, it's going to be Pats and Peyton all over again.
Yep.
Andrew Luck, he's going in there. He's going to be hunting Peyton Manning down again because he's wiping out all of Peyton Manning's stats in Indy. But at the end of the day, it's going to be Peyton and Tom, just the way that the NFL and everybody else wants it on the networks. And then, you know what, I'd love to see... I've been dying for this matchup. I've been dying for a Seattle Patriots in the Super Bowl. The guy who ran him out of here. This is Pete Carroll, Uncle Pete Carroll.
What a great story. That would be a great story.
I always liked Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll just got the bad.
Does that cement his legacy?
I'm with you, Keith. So Pete Carroll got run out of town and kind of made fun of
him.
He was not a bad coach. He had a winning record.
Yep.
He wasn't kind of larger than life Bill Parcells. So he kind of got made fun of, and he's a really good football coach.
Those were the Bobby Gray years, right?
Yeah, that was the Terry Glenn years.
But who's your general manager? Who's your guy shopping for the groceries?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was the big problem.
But the thing is that, you know, they didn't get better when Pete Carroll was a coach, but, you know, the media here really kind of hounded him.
Yes, they did.
And
pumped and jacked, baby.
It was a Parcells shadow when they never let him.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they ran, you know, it turned out to work. It worked out for the Patriots, but they ran out of town a good coach who proved in USC he can win. He proved in Seattle he can win. Mm. We have a stat we call the intelligence index at Cold Hard Football Facts. We measure how smart football teams are.
I love your stats. I love Cold Hard Football Facts stats.
How smart and efficient are you? Seattle last year, and it's a representation at the end of the day of how well you play in situational football, which is a representation of, are you a well-coached team? Well-coached teams are smart teams. Poorly coached teams are dumb teams. Seattle last year, when they won the Super Bowl, were the smartest team in football,
mm-hmm.
which means they had the best coach in football last year. And by the way, the Patriots are number one on that indicator this year. They're an intelligence dynasty. They're always one of the smartest teams in football, which is a sign of how good Belichick is. But they were not just a physically dominating team last year with a great young quarterback who puts up a lot of really efficient winning numbers. They were the smartest team in football. They weren't quite that good this year. They got better late, but they're a dangerous team. And I think if it's New England, and I'm with you, I think the four top seeds go on to the championship round. I think Patriots play Seattle. I picked them to play in the Super Bowl last year. I missed it by one game, basically. But I like Seattle to win that game, Keith. I think if the Patriots meet Seattle on a neutral ground, that is Seattle's game to win.
I love my Pats, but I like Richard Sherman and on defense.
Do we need to have more Richards? But it also represents the changing of the guard. You're having a two teams that have the best defensive backfields, arguably, in the NFL right now. That am I wrong here?
Mm. No, I think you're right.
I mean, you have a guy who is the linchpin of each, whether it's Richard Sherman, respectively, with Seattle, and Darrelle Revis for the Patriots.
The secret weapon in Seattle is He doesn't get enough credit. He's easily better than Andrew Luck as Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Easily the best young quarterback in football. Right now, he is destined to be. He's not a game manager.
And why does he
puts,
not get
he,
that?
He puts up. He is the second, right now, the second highest rated passer in the history of football behind Aaron Rodgers. He has an incredible. He's thrown 12 fewer touchdowns than Andrew Luck through three seasons, but in 50% fewer attempts. The stats that when you look at a quarterback, don't look at how often they pass the football. Don't look at how many yards they pass for. Look at their efficiency numbers, Kevin. What is their completion percentage? What is their average per pass attempt? What is their touchdown interception ratio? What is their passer rating? In each case, he's one of the best of all time already. He is an incredibly gifted, talented quarterback, and he is the reason they're a championship contender as much as anything else on that team. He doesn't get enough credit because people, Kevin, think, oh, he's a game manager. He's not. He's brilliant. He just doesn't throw the ball 40 times a game, but he's brilliant. Mm. He's brilliant. He puts up incredible numbers.
And it's a tough TV market, which is why.
Yeah.
It's Seattle for some reason.
But I was happy to see Seattle win it. It's what's good about the NFL product is that there isn't necessarily a redundancy with the same handful of teams. You have, it's every now and then, you will have teams that are, you know, that get in there that you haven't seen there before. We just got a moment left here. I want you guys, let's try to get you back before the Super Bowl, if possible, depending on your respective busy schedules, to see if you're right. So you're both saying, you're both seeing it Patriots-Seattle. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I guess we're both going to be wrong, too. We won't have much to argue about if it goes wrong. Yeah, I still like New England-Seattle.
All right. If folks want to follow what you're doing, Keith, how can they do that?
You can hit me up and follow me on hoobazoo.com on the booth on Tuesday nights, and follow me at Sinister_1 on Twitter. Got a lot of nice things going on. I know I got a lot of dog photos right now because we got a new puppy in the house, so I apologize profusely for all the cute puppy photos, and I must apologize for my Pop-Tarts with butter on my page.
ColdHeartFootballFacts.com, of course, and at FootballFacts on Twitter. The best stats in football.
And let's not forget, you just got a new product, too. Tell them folks about that real quick.
Which one?
The Quincy Calendar.
Oh, yeah, historic Quincy Calendar coming out tomorrow. Just all great stats and history about this beautiful waterfront community of Quincy.
All right. Well, that's another Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Until next week at 6:15, have a great evening.
Good night.